400 episodes of the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is, what is this? This is Friday already. Middle of July. Almost, the whole thing's almost over. The summer, that is. And I've got a cup. I've got a couple cups here. I've got a backup cup this morning because we are live, right? We're going to see how this goes. I've got a couple things going on here on the computer. And the computer tends to get a little bit crazy sometimes. It bogs down. It does some weird things. I'm using Logic Pro, and for some reason it likes to tell me that your disk is overloaded. You need to slow down. Take a breath. It stops recording. So this morning I'm live on Podbean. It is 7:52 a.m. Friday, July 15th, 2022, just for the record. I am not a doctor or a lawyer. I'm not a marine biologist or a brain surgeon. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a life coach. There you go. I'm just a guy with a microphone with a bunch of opinions. And I scour the internet, the interwebs, the nets of the ethosphere. And I try to glean all the information I can to compile it all into one big blob of what I think about it. And then I share that with you. Then you go about your day thinking that now you're a better person because at least you're not like that guy. When you talk about me. Yeah, you'll feel better about yourself. Sure, you have a much more balanced life than I do. I'm drinking, by the way, what's in my cup this morning? What's in my cup is chai. It's Pacific Island chai. Every day this week I've had vanilla chai with vanilla creamer in it. And then I haven't always had a backup cup, but I have this morning. I'm going to have a backup cup with homemade iced tea and a little bit of peach mango fusion, V8 fusion in it. So I get my fruits and vegetables. Because that's important. I'm a healthy eater. All about those fruits and vegetables. I'm going to lay right into this stuff this morning because there is a couple things that it just really kind of gets my ire up. And I'm not even sure where my ire is. I'm not sure what an ire is, but I know that it gets my ire up. I've just heard that term, so I'm going to use it. It sounds like, you know, it really gravels me. I don't know what that means either. Gets my goat, and I don't even have a goat. Well, that's apparently because somebody got it. This Ray Epps saga, in combination with what's going on with the whole J6 committee, I didn't even get to listen to the whole program, but I listened to enough of it to get me all riled up, which I don't know what a row is, but that's what I've got. All that stuff that I have no idea what it is, that's where I'm at. Robert Govea, the guy who has Watching the Watchers and some other things going on. He, interestingly enough, has kind of, he did a really good program, in my opinion, is his background of things he's a defense attorney in Arizona. He's kind of gone after this J6 committee in big time. He talked about a lot of political cases or a lot of court cases that are going on. He was always talking about some of the court cases that are going on. He mostly kind of wades into a lot of the political court cases that are going on, like Steve Bannon and some other things that are happening with people on the fringe, especially surrounding the whole J6 committee thing. There are people who were not there, who were not in the White House, who had nothing to do with January 6th, that this committee has all of a sudden been allowed to go after, and when they don't comply, they then charge them with contempt of Congress. Because this whole thing, it's amazing to me that we'll get into this a little bit later. There's so much information here that I don't think I'm going to be able to remember it all and cover it all. So I might be bumbling around and stumbling around a little bit because I have no notes. That's the one thing about this program you're going to find. I don't sit down with a page full of, with a stack of stuff. The great Rush Limbaugh was able to get all that stuff organized and put it in his stack. And he would go through things. And I, If this was a full-time show, if I were doing this, you know, full-time, I'm only on for an hour. Rush was on for three. Of course, he had callers. I don't have any callers. In fact, I go live, and right now, at this hour, I don't have anybody listening, as far as I know. There might be somebody listening. I tried to get on Rumble this morning, and apparently my membership, all of a sudden, I have no ability to go live on that show. I've been paying for membership on there. Maybe my, now I know I had to change my credit card. I don't, maybe that's what the issue was. But I could have swore that like last month I had a membership fee taken out of my account, but I don't know. I probably have a membership, but I put it under some other name or something. Maybe, I don't know. You know, cause I got so many names. So by the way, if you ever get a chance to listen to Brian Regan, he's got this whole thing about checking into a hotel. And, you know, he gets up there and he says, "Hi, I'm Brian Regan." He gets, you know, he's kind of loud, like he's just in from a trip. Checking in, just checking in. He's got, you can just see him sitting there behind the, you know, just tell him, you know, let's check in. They did a bunch of typing for about 5 minutes. And then they come back to him and say, "Hey, did you possibly check in under another name?" Oh, well, maybe I forgot what my name was. Maybe I checked in under, he starts going, "Jiminy Cricket, try that. Try Jiminy Cricket." So he goes in after all, tries all these different names. Just pretty funny. Look it up. It's on YouTube. It's pretty funny. Brian Regan checking into hotels. You'll get a good laugh out of that because it's pretty much real. I mean, it's these guys. Yeah, some of the best comedians are just people who tell real life stories. And they tell them in, you know, funny ways. They just have a funny way of looking at it. So they describe what that's, you know, they make a comedy thing out of it. It's pretty funny. Sort of like about Tim Hawkins. He does that. He does a really good job of that. Talks about life in general, but he's, you know, just takes notes. Talks about life. Ray Epps is in the news because, now this may be all by design. I have a tendency to not like to talk about the thing that's on everybody's mind at the moment because there's so many things we forget about so quickly. And, you know, everything from Afghanistan to, you know, the mandates, the mask issues, the COVID stuff. You know, whatever happened to COVID, that's all gone. It's coming back, though. It's making a comeback, folks. It's the most dangerous strain yet, the ninja virus. It's a version of the Omicron. Now, this was Dr. Drew himself said this on television for everybody to hear. Said, yes, it's more dangerous because it's more transmissible. Because in actual reality, it actually transmits among people who are actually immune. The previous immunity or whatever you want to call it. What they're not actually saying is it's traveling more among the vaccinated. It's called an immune escape thing, I think is what I understand. I'm not a doctor, not an epidemiologist, I'm not a virologist. I already covered all that. So they have all this stuff going on. With all that stuff gets forgotten. It just goes down the memory hole. People, you know, the memory of the average memory on the news cycle is about 2 weeks. And that's, you know, that's the average. Some stories last a month. Most stories last less than 2 weeks. With regard to, excuse me, with regard to how many people are actually listening or remember this stuff. So when I kind of have the feeling that maybe, that's my backup cup there. That's my tea. I kind of have the feeling that maybe one of the reasons that the news media came out with this, I think it was the New York Times, I believe it was, came out with this little post recently about Hunter Biden's stuff, this laptop and all of his messages and all this email stuff. It was all legitimate. It wasn't a Russian thing. It was all, it's real. His laptop is real. I think that they wanted to get it out soon enough that they knew that the memory hole would be about a month long on that one. And what has happened with it? Nothing. No investigations. Of course, you get a DOJ that's not going to go after it. He's under, the only reason that the DOJ or the FBI puts anybody under investigation right now on the left are certain privileged individuals is because it protects them from answering any questions to it about it. Well, I can't comment on any ongoing. It's an ongoing investigation. I can't make any comments on it. I want to tell it to the IRS next week whenever anybody comes after me, any of the feds come after me, or anybody comes after me, it's going to say, "Well, there's an ongoing investigation. I can't make any comments." I don't recall what happened yesterday. I can't recall whether or not a hammer fell on my head or not. I can't recall that because, you know, I got knocked out. Whatever. This whole thing reeks of so much corruption. The corruption's just boiling just under the surface so much that you can see it boiling there. And when you just look at a pot of water, you can't tell it's getting hot except for the little bubbles in there. And then it starts to boil. You can't see the heat necessarily. Unless, you know, you can see the steam coming off of it. But that doesn't even mean it's really hot. You can take a pot full of warm water out on a cold day, and it's the contrast that you see. Steam will come off of that. You can't see your breath in your house, typically, normally, hopefully not. But you go outside when it's, you know, 40 degrees, and you can see your breath all of a sudden. Or 30 degrees, whatever the temperature is, whatever the dew point spread is. It depends on what the dew point is. But I'm not a weatherman either. I'm not a meteorologist. First time I heard the term meteorology. Remember this, I think it was our biology teacher, actually. He came up with these names. He says, okay, these names, you have to match these names with what the occupation is. And he put down all these, he put down like three or four names. One was entomologist and echinologist and all these kinds of stuff, meteorologist. Everybody in the class thought that meteorologist was somebody who studies meteors. That's what we thought. Because meteor has a different term. I think it's probably a Greek name or something, or maybe it's a Latin name. I don't know. It has something to do with the sky, which, you know, you start talking about weather. You would think the meteor is just kind of comes from the sky. So I guess, I don't know. And there's meteorites, which are things on the ground. Meteorologist. You would think, you know, but no, it's the weatherman. So this Ray Epps thing is unfolding now because of an interview. They're making Ray Epps to be out a martyr now. And the far right is attacking him. Now, so much of this guy's story is bogus and obviously true and contradictive. And it begs the question, why is he not sitting in jail when all these other people are sitting in? Hundreds of people were charged on January 6th. None of them were downtown the night before saying, we need to go out there with pamphlets and a backpack and a red hat. I don't even know if it said MAGA on it or not. It's a red hat. He's out there yelling, we need to go into the Capitol, into the Capitol. We need to go into the Capitol. He just kept emphatically, like obsessively saying this. Now, these guys, you can smell a Fed, guys. I don't know if they try really hard sometimes, but they overplay their hands many times. And this is one of those cases, I think, where he just made it so obvious that he was trying to drum up and ring up kind of some kind of insurrectionist mentality to try to get people to go down to the Capitol and go into the Capitol to try to get in there. Now, interestingly enough, guess who didn't go into the Capitol that day? Ray Epps. He didn't go in. Now, his whole premise, let's just start at the beginning of this thing. His whole premise, his story is that he just decided to take his son. Apparently his nephew was there as well. Or else he was just texting his nephew. I'm not sure whether he was there at the Capitol or not. His whole premise was, oh, the president's going to be giving a speech on January 6th. Let's just drive down there. It's kind of an impromptu thing. We just decided at the last minute we're going to go down to the... Really? So just at the last minute, you decide to go down and listen to the president's speech on January 6th. But you went down early. I believe he actually went down on the 4th, but I don't remember for sure. Not terribly impromptu if you've gone a couple days ahead of time. But he was definitely there on January 5th. I don't know where he stayed that night. He does have a motorhome now that he lives in because he's on the run. Because far right-wing conservatives and MAGA supporters are after him. You tried to make yourself look like a far right-wing MAGA supporter the night before. All of a sudden, you're not one. Well, I was disillusioned and misled by Donald Trump. Really. I don't believe the media reports anymore about this whole idea that people have turned against Trump. I'm not buying it. They want support to be waning because of they want this January 6th thing to be soaking in. And you know what? This is just going to do nothing but stir people up more. Because this was an obvious fraud. Obvious fraud. And the FBI is again in the middle of this whole thing. If you don't believe me, guess what happened? This is the weirdest. I gotta get this out before I forget about it, because this is the most egregious thing I've ever heard of. And this is not the first time this has happened. I don't know how many times I've reported on this show. The FBI was asked about text messages from within the FBI over certain things that were going on January 6th, the 5th and the 6th, I think it was. Certain dates. I can't remember the dates for exactly. I'll go back and get, you know, I could go back and take notes on all this stuff. Robert Gavea did a really good job on this. He's got this mind map thing. I think I talked about it. Mind map, j6mindmap.com. You can go there and find this stuff. It's all put out. All the technical articles and video, all the stuff is there. Even the court filings and all this stuff is there. The creepy part about this is, and this is not the first time this kind of thing has happened. I think that they're not sure what to do with Hunter's laptop, because they know they've been given it. They've received it a couple of times. They had it, and then somebody else got it somehow. Or they had a copy of it or whatever it was. And that was passed around, and then Giuliani gave it back to the FBI. And then they didn't do anything with it again. Well, we've already got that. I think they were planning on, well, it's just going to disappear. Well, it's been misplaced, or somehow it's been corrupted. The file's been corrupted. It accidentally got destroyed during forensic audit. But whatever. No, they'll come up with some kind of weird thing. Here's their excuse for this. The text messages, they were requesting, I think somebody was requesting text messages from the FBI during this period of time. Oh, they're unavailable because we had a device transfer program in place. In other words, they all got new iPhones or whatever they're using. They all got new phones, new devices. So all their text messages were gone. No, it doesn't work that way, guys. That sounds like a good excuse, doesn't it? Guess what happens to all your text messages? We all know full well that everything is recorded. That information is recorded. Everything on the internet is always there. There's record of it somewhere, guys. And you, of all people, should know that. But that's their excuse. They're hiding something. They're covering something up from the American people. And in my opinion, it's egregious. You want to talk about a coup. You want to talk about insurrection. You want to talk about traitors to this nation, to the people of this country. There are some dirty folks at the FBI. Not all of them. But the ones at the top. And I'm sure that they think in their little justified world of being, because their poop doesn't stink. James Comey doesn't think his poop stinks, I'm pretty sure. He probably collects them all and puts them all on the wall. He probably hangs them up on the wall, has a collection of his poop down in the basement, like a museum. This was a beautiful day right here. I had this one right here. I know I'm being crude and rude, but you know what? I could go a lot further than that and still be correct with regard to just how disgusting these people are. So Ray Epps doesn't get, he wants to go down to listen to the president speak. That was his reason for going there. Guess who didn't show up at the Ellipse to listen to the president speak? Ray Epps wasn't there. He was already down at the Capitol, telling everybody to go in, coaching everybody. Don't take that in there. We don't need to get shot. We need to go in now. He's like telling all these people. He's walking around coaching all these younger guys that are all riled up and want to go inside. But guess who never goes inside? I'm going to lead from behind. I'll be back here. You guys go on in there. I'll be here for you when you come out. Actually, I'll be on a motorhome with my family and my little dogs. And we'll be on the run. And I'm going to do an interview with... I have to hide from everybody now because they're after me. Not the FBI. The FBI is not after me. It's the MAGA crowd that's after me. He was on the FBI's most wanted list, and then all of a sudden he fell off of it. How do you go from being on the FBI's most wanted list to just disappearing and not being even called to testify at J6? You got you on video telling people, inciting people to go down and go into the Capitol, and you're not even called up as a witness on J6. That's rich. That's really special. Now, in the process of all this stuff, you've got the New York Times, I think it was, or what was it, New York Times? I think it was. I don't think it was Washington Post. I think it was New York Times. Doing this article on this guy. They're doing this interview with him. It's a video. I think it's a video article or whatever. And he's acting like he's the victim in all this. He's the victim. The poor guy. Oh, the poor guy has to be on the run now, living up in the mountains with his nice brand new motorhome. Who's paying for this? He's got no visible means of support here. Maybe he's just independently wealthy. Okay, well, how'd you come into your wealth there, buddy? Let's follow the money on this one and see who's getting paid. See who's paying for the motorhome. See who's paying for the gas for the motorhome. How does this happen? And then you got the Capitol Police. Now, this is an issue that unfortunately backfired because of an unlikely candidate. Most of you probably already heard about this. AOC. The rap artist, AOC. Sandy Cortez. She comes out, and this is why it happened. Now, this guy, I would play this audio, but he's kind of rude. He's yelling. He's out in front of the Capitol building, and he's kind of waiting around with his phone, I guess. And apparently Sandy Cortez comes walking up with her little entourage and her boyfriend or her fiance, whatever. And he's got this little dog. I think it was a little dog on a leash or whatever he had in front of him. I think it was like a little poodle or whatever they got. And of course, he's got the leash and the dog's going up the steps. And he keeps on going up and she's kind of beside him and off to the side, to the one side. And this guy's yelling, "There's Sandy Cortez. Oh, she's gorgeous. Oh, she's making all these cat calls." And then he throws this little thing in. "She likes to kill babies, but she's really beautiful." Now, I don't know if anybody recognizes this guy. Maybe he's not the same guy, but he sure sounds exactly like the same guy who was doing the whole thing with Eyepatch McCain. If you remember when that happened, and all that all of a sudden went away. Because all, you know, what's the guy's name? Eyepatch McCain. That's all I can think of is now is Eyepatch McCain. Crenshaw. Crenshaw from, I think it's from Texas. He was going to a meeting somewhere and this guy starts going, "Eyepatch McCain, Eyepatch McCain. Oh, look at Eyepatch McCain. Oh, you know." He just starts saying all this stuff. And he's recording himself doing it. And of course, his entourage pushes back on him, damages his camera, does all kinds of weird stuff. and they accuse him of assault. Dan Crenshaw's security detail was assaulted by a man from, you know, some guy going after him. So a right, extreme right-wing guy claiming he wasn't a real conservative. And, okay, well, that's interesting. So, I think it's the same guy. Anyway, so he goes after AOC, and she's all upset about it. She tweeted like 3 or 4 times, I think, after that concerning the event. Initially, you know, she actually goes over to approach the guy, which is, this is what's weird about it. She says she's so terrified. She was, you know, the Capitol Police did nothing, and she actually walked over towards the guy, gave him a peace sign, and he's like doing like a selfie. Let's do a selfie with. The worst thing he said was something about her big Latino booty or whatever it was he said. I can't remember what he said. Something. It wasn't violent. It wasn't threatening, in my opinion. It was odd and weird, and the guy's a weirdo. Okay, he has a weird way of going. He just kind of goes on and on and on and on and on, just like he was doing with this eye patch McCain thing. He gets really loud. That's what he was doing with her. He was just being really loud, obnoxious, annoying. That's not necessarily a crime. But AOC is all upset because the Capitol Police were standing right there and they did nothing. Well, gee, but all they want to do is throw money at him. All Congress wants to do is throw money at him. And then she goes where she never should have gone. Because this starts to implicate people higher up. And she doesn't even realize it. Her issue is, she thinks that people that were in the Capitol Police were sympathetic to the MAGA people and they let them in because it was an inside job. That the Capitol Police were part of the insurrectionists. Now she doesn't know who to trust among the Capitol Police. Because, you know, they don't have any 10-year background checks or anything there. Or lifetime background checks to be a Capitol Police officer. Apparently you just apply and you can get in. You come up and you got your MAGA hat on. You can go ahead and apply and you can just jump right in there. Or, you know, you're a Proud Boy and you just get right in there. There's no background checks on. There's no surveillance of those guys. Nothing. That's what she thinks. She thinks that these guys are in there and they're insurrectionists. And now she doesn't know who to trust because these people could be part of the group that wants to kill her. And then she goes over this whole thing again about this Capitol Police officer who comes in. There was only one of them. He was there by himself. He comes in, boom, 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 on the door. Where is she? Where is she? Well, if you're the guy in charge of keeping someone safe and you don't know where they are, I'm coming into a room looking for somebody. They better be giving me answers right now. I need to know right now where that person is, right now. And that kind of sternness, maybe she's never heard from, you know, a person before, scares her. I thought I was going to die. This was the guy who was coming to protect you. He thought you were going to die. Okay, just because you perceived it that way doesn't mean you were about to die. Okay, the guy was there to protect you. He was there to escort you out. He was not there to hurt you. But you perceived it that way. Just because you perceived it that way doesn't mean, you know, that's not the reality, folks. The emotion is not reality. There can be reality that's based on, but it doesn't mean that it's reality. It doesn't prove reality. So, by the way, any of you that are listening live right now, if you could just give me like a thumbs up or say, hey, you know, the audio is okay. And I don't know if it is or not. I have no way of knowing this. The audio meter that they have on this Podbean thing is anemic, to say the least. It's very weak. It has a, the little microphone with the little bar thing on the bottom. I have no idea if the audio is coming across or not. I've heard on occasion that there's some weird stuff that goes on there. But anyway, so So AOC starts tweeting this stuff about the Capitol Police and how she doesn't trust them, and she wonders why the J6 committee has not had any investigation into this issue of, she said, we've all seen the video, the Capitol Police opening the doors and letting people in. Oh my. Oh my. What are you talking about, AOC? What are you talking about there, Sandy Cortez? Because, you know, you shouldn't be saying that. She goes on about this whole thing about the Capitol Police that day, because this guy, you know, this guy scared her. She said, the Capitol Police did nothing. They didn't tell the man to step back or say anything. I don't know who to trust. Well, you know, maybe it could be more like, Lauren Boebert? Whatever her name is. Who's the congresswoman who carries a sidearm? I don't know whatever happened with that whole saga. I don't know if she was allowed to carry then inside the Capitol building or not. She said she was going to, part of her campaign was she was going to carry every day. Of course, then Nancy Pelosi would have nothing of it. Of course, then they have the insurrection. But and they're all screaming that the police didn't protect them. Well, guess what? You're ultimately responsible for the protection of yourself. That's the way it works. When you abdicate that responsibility to somebody else, then guess what? You have nothing to say about it. You've given up your right then at that point. You've now determined that someone else is going to take care of me. And I'm not going to worry about it. That's a bad situation to get in. That's fine. You can have the freedom to do that. That's fine if you want to do that. If you want to trust somebody else with your life, that's fine. Look at Uvalde. Look at all the other things that have happened recently where police officers stood down. Police officers opened doors. Or didn't open doors. Didn't rush in. And God bless them. They're in a tough situation. I get it. But why do I have to lay down my weapons to trust someone else to think that they're going to lay their life down for me? That seems like I'm putting someone else in harm's way who may not feel like it that day, who may make a bad decision in that process. I can make just as bad of a decision as they can. But I'll take responsibility for that bad decision instead of letting someone else's bad decision become my life or the end of my life. My chai tea is getting a little cold. I can usually judge how long I've gone with the show by what the temperature of my tea is. But so we have all this stuff going on, and AOC I think it was actually Tucker Carlson that kind of brought this up. She's treading on thin ice. Nancy Pelosi isn't going to like this because she's saying what she shouldn't be saying. I think he did say she's skating on thin ice or treading on thin ice, something like that. This whole thing is, you know, if you really start to pull on any threads, it all unravels. And too many more questions come up that J6 is not asking. They have their narrative. I even heard a guy, I think it was yesterday on MSNBC, sounded disappointed. He said, well, you know what? If we don't see Donald Trump in handcuffs, it's really going to be a disappointment for a lot of people. That is their thing. That is absolutely, and I've said this many times, they want to see the perp walk. They want to see busting into Mar-a-Lago, carting off a former president in handcuffs. That's what they want to see. They continue to say the walls are closing in, and they're still saying it. I was going, like it was yesterday, there was just this barrage. Let me see if I can find this again. There was a literal barrage of, but I probably shouldn't look on it. I got too much going on with the internet right now to mess with anything. MSNBC had a barrage of, I don't want to upset the balance of my internet because all of a sudden it'll do weird things. It'll start buffering and all kinds of strange, weird things. But the MSNBC had all these headlines of know, Trump this and Trump advisors and Trump lawyers and all this stuff that they said this and they said that. It looks like very condemning, very damning information coming from this or that. And then when you listen to what they're talking about, there's nothing there. And it's all little clips of stuff. There's no context to anything anybody said. They're talking now like this. Steve Bannon was probably one of the closest people to the president they've gotten so far. And they're going after him now. They love it when somebody closer to the president gets. You know, they were going after Ivanka. Speaking of which, Ivana Trump, Ivana or whatever her name is. Apparently passed away yesterday. She's 73 years old. Not a whole lot older than me. Not sure what the reason for. I'm not sure what she died of. I'm not sure exactly if she had other complications or if she had other something else she was struggling with. Yeah, it's kind of sad news. I mean, anytime somebody dies, I don't know what you think of her. I don't know. She wasn't in public life anymore. I don't know. I'm sure there'll be more talk about it, but I'm sure that Donald Trump will be going through that process of, I believe that's I believe that's his daughter's mother, from what I understand it. So I'm sure that there will be family dynamics there going on. Sadness and going through this, struggling through the grief process, I'm sure, with that. I don't know what kind of relationship she had with her mother. I guess the boys would be her. That would be her boys as well, I believe. With Donald Jr. and Eric and all those folks. Or am I thinking of Hunter Biden with all the, how many grandkids and kids do we have? Depending on what day you ask them, they'll give you different answers because there's some that they claim and some that they don't. I believe they have 7 grandkids. Once in a while, Joe will say 5. Jill will say 6. They never acknowledge the one who's ironically named by the name of Navy. I think Hunter was booted out of the Navy. So, but he's, you know, it's Trump's family that's a mess. Joe Biden's family they just have some struggles. It's poor folks. Yeah. So we have all this stuff going on. And AOC is dipping her toe into this water of wanting an investigation into the Capitol Police. Well, see, the problem here is her reason for dipping into the Capitol Police investigation is because she doesn't trust the Capitol Police. She thinks it just stops there with the Capitol Police, that there was sympathizers within the Capitol Police, and it was just this independent group of people within the Capitol Police who stood down or opened the doors. I got news for you, folks. I don't care if they were sympathizers or empathizers or whatever. They're going to do their job. I don't think that anybody's going to think that they're a hero by disobeying rules and opening up doors or orders. This goes, I think, to the top. It gets much closer to those in charge that day of security. Who were the people making decisions? Who offered up to 20,000? Donald Trump was going to authorize up to 20,000 National Guard troops to protect the Capitol building. There's witnesses there that at the time, it's in documented records, that he was willing to authorize 20,000 troops. And original reports were 10,000. I guess there was this, the order, I guess, was going to say 10,000 with the option to up another 10,000, 20,000 total. Now, I don't know if they just thought, oh, nobody's going to show up for this. He's just blowing this all out of proportion. It's blowing out of smoke. Nobody's going to show up. So apparently the White House was over, Capitol building was overrun by just a dozen guys. And everybody, once it was overrun by those 12, because they had people Ray Epps behind him, cheering him on. That's all it takes, about, you know, a couple dozen people that can get, apparently can just breach the Capitol building. It's real easy to do, apparently. So afterwards, they had to build a wall, not at the border, but around the Capitol building grounds, because the, you know, it, remember that place was locked down for like 9 months or something afterwards. We've got to put up a wall because this, we have all these racists out there that want to destroy Joe Biden because he's an old white man. I don't know. Weird stuff going on. I think they felt better. They felt safer behind the wall because the useless eaters out there were unable to get to them until somebody tried to crash the gate like a week later and did kill a couple of Capitol Police officers, and come to find out, oh, that went away real fast because guess what? They weren't MAGA. They were hoping it would be MAGA people. They were just hoping when they heard the report that somebody crashed the gate and killed a couple officers. Oh, guess what? Actually, I think it killed one and injured another. And by the way, that officer didn't lie in state afterwards. Officer Sicknick lied in state in the Capitol Rotunda. Because of what happened on January 6th, he died. He didn't die on January 6th, by the way. And he died of other causes, a stroke of some kind or something that happened to him. But that's their martyr. Meanwhile, Miss Bobbitt, who was shot in the almost in the head, in the neck, by a security detail person, we won't get into that whole rabbit hole, but an unarmed individual, I believe she had formerly been in the Navy, military of some kind, served her country for 6 years or whatever, however many years it was, shot and killed. But she's a criminal. She deserved it. That's according to the news media and according to the January 6th Commission. We almost died that day. Well, somebody did die. And somebody's responsible for that, but they've been let off the hook completely. Nobody even talks about who the officer was that shot her. I think his name has leaked out somehow. I don't know what it was. And that's all part of their plan. Now, when you start looking into this, you start to realize, AOC and Sandy Cortez. Here, if you have to take a step back here, Sandy, and think about what might have just happened here. The way Nancy Pelosi got up and talked about, well, she gets this little high and mighty look in her face. And when she starts talking very eloquently. Well, the January 6th Commission last night, of course, she didn't talk as her, you know, she's trying to talk through her teeth. Her teeth are falling out and she's trying to talk to them. And as she's talking about it, she talks about how the January 6th Commission exposed so many things and really showed how the Capitol Police really, she all of a sudden Nancy's talking about how brave the Capitol Police were and how they saved the country. And yet she was the one in charge of this whole security detail from the very beginning. So AOC now has come out questioning the Capitol Police and their involvement in the case because she thinks that the Capitol Police, it stops there. She thinks that the issue stops there. She doesn't realize it goes much higher than that. Now, I guarantee you, Nancy will probably call her aside at some point and say, hey, you need to behave. You need to stop talking like this because we know more than you do because we're on this committee over here. We have the inside information. We know everything that happened that day. It wasn't the Capitol Police. Well, yet she knows Capitol Police opened the doors. She admits that to all of her Twitter followers. What does she even have a Twitter following? I assume she's got some, but they're probably all bots. Who knows what they are? Or then you got people like Colbert, begging her to run for president in 2024. So, how ridiculous are these people? How do they even want to? I mean, you want to go from Joe Biden to AOC? Sandy Cortez is going to be president. Yeah, that's a great idea. Can you imagine Sandy Cortez running against Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis, either one? Let's talk about that for a minute, too. There's all this flutter about, you know, Ron DeSantis running. Now, I would vote for the guy. If Donald Trump doesn't run and Ron DeSantis would, I'd vote for the guy. However, I'm more concerned. You know, I think we need to understand in the country, and this is one of the concerns I have about the country right now, is that we need to have strong governors. Who's going to take Ron DeSantis' place in Florida if he leaves and runs for president? I don't know that there's anybody waiting in the wings there to be as strong of a governor as he has been. We need people like Carrie Lake, Ron DeSantis. These people need to be in positions in running states, because states really ultimately, at least right now, still, we haven't centralized government to an extreme. Well, incrementally has happened more and more. But states still hold a lot of power. Look at the abortion issue. States now have a lot of power over, once again, it's closer to the people. They have a lot more control over abortion rules and abortion laws, as they should. The Second Amendment is not a states' rights issue, even though they try to usurp that authority. It is a constitutional right. It's an enumerated right. That is a constitutional right that the federal government has to protect. In other words, the federal government can rein in issues in states that if they go too far. I believe the governor of New York has done that. Miss, I don't need any statistics or anything to make my decisions. I'm just going to make it basically illegal to carry a gun anywhere you can't walk a public sidewalk, any place outside your home. Basically, you can carry all you want to, as long as you're on your own property. That's not what the Second Amendment was about. The right to keep and the right to bear means the right to carry. Period. It means the right to own and carry. Let's put it in modern terms. Keep means own. Bear means carry. Period. No concealed, unconcealed, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it. Now, Indiana has a state in which I live in. We have a lifetime CCW permit, concealed weapons permit, CWP. I don't know what it's called. I think it's called CCP. I don't want to. Anyway, we have this lifetime thing. You have to pay for it. I had one of those before. Now we have become a constitutional carry state, which is ironic to me. Oh yes, we're going to actually say it's a constitutional carry state. In other words, you can carry here based on the Constitution. Well, that's what it should have been to begin with. It's like, oh, all of a sudden you've given me this right that I had before. That's ludicrous. I've always argued that. There's so many states that will say, well, you have a right to carry, but we're going to take that right away from you and then sell it back to you in the form of a permit. So you have to apply for this permit, pay your $25 or $125, whatever it is, $200, $500 in some places, more than that, probably some others. Probably New York's probably $10,000. And then we're going to give you this permit to have your rights back. Are you going to do that with free speech? You can't talk. You can't talk anywhere publicly. You can't say anything publicly until you get this permit to do so. Until then, you can't say anything publicly. How would that go over? But that's exactly what they've done. I've always argued against that, as well as property taxes being immoral. But I'm going down a rabbit hole. So the weird thing about all this is how they go down this road, and then they vilify anybody who's gone anywhere else. But let's get back to this whole Ron DeSantis thing. Ron DeSantis is a strong governor in Florida and I think he needs to stay in Florida for right now. Maybe 2028 would be a great time for him to run, or depending on who the VP is for the next candidate for president. So let's just see what happens with all this. But I don't know. Now, Trump claims he's going to make an announcement. I have the feeling, you know, I know he's got a good relationship apparently with Ron DeSantis, but I don't know whether he's going to be I don't think that they would be a good match together, personally. It's just my opinion. We'll see what happens. I don't know. That's the way I'm going to leave it. All I know is that Sandy Cortez has now opened up this can of worms, ironically, from kind of out of her fear of the Capitol Police and what happened on January 6th, and she's all upset that there's never been an investigation into the Capitol Police. Well, Sandy, that's a little wormhole that you don't want to go down, because where that leads is directly to the top, which would be Nancy Pelosi, the one who has put this whole sham trial together. And it's not a trial. This is not due process. It's House Bill 503 has not even been done properly. It says you shall appoint 13 members, not you may, or if you want to just make it 9. You shall appoint 13 members, 5 of which need to be from the minority party, chosen by the minority speaker. Well, the minority, they only have 9. They chose 2. I've said this almost every day. They have 9. They've chosen 2 minorities. And the minority speaker did not have a chance to choose those 2. He chose 2, and they rejected those 2. They picked the 2 that voted to impeach Donald Trump. Everybody on that board, all 9 of them, voted to impeach Donald Trump the first time. And guess what? They're the ones who are making all these decisions. And the Justice Department, the DOJ, and the AG, the Attorney General, and his prosecutors, well, they're all watching. We're watching we're watching very closely. Why are you watching television? Why are you not out doing the actual investigation and cross-examining these people and vetting anybody? They're just sitting back watching the ratings is what they're watching to see whether or not public opinion is now on their side. We can go ahead and indict this guy. They're going to indict him. There are prosecutors on both sides of the aisle saying, oh, they don't have anything to indict yet. They can't indict this guy. They will. They didn't have anything to impeach him with the first time. You have to understand, these people are extremely, and if he's such a terrible person, if they believe so much in democracy, why are they trying to undermine it? If the majority of Americans want to vote for this guy, that terrifies the life out of them. Why? Why does that scare them so much? If he's so bad, and they think that, oh, this, you know, they just think that the country is overrun by racists. Racists and dictators. He's a dictator, and he's... Really? That's what you're afraid of. So trying to portray this guy as somebody who behind the scenes just is a big baby who throws little tantrums, throws his food up against the wall, cusses and swears. There were more F-bombs. Apparently, this Cassidy lady, of course, she never talks about her using the F-word. This is when you know that someone is basically lying through their teeth. And they're talking about everybody else in the room that's talking, and they're all using effing this and effing that, and they're all using the F word. But she never used it at all. Notice she never said it. She was just the innocent little one in the room who was listening to all this, taking it all in. She never said anything. She never had an opinion. She just sat there taking all this stuff in. She was a victim. But she made it sound like she was right there at the time. She told the whole story as if she was right there. And all she was hearing was a story about something that somebody else talked about. Who wasn't even there. And then come to find out, one of the people in that meeting that she says was there wasn't even there. But she's been thoroughly vetted. It gets old, folks. I'm just saying it gets old to listen to this kind of stuff from these people who continue to repeat the lie because they know that they're repeated enough. They will be... You know, people start believing it. It's just amazing to me. I digress. Well, I need to go get some things done and walk my dogs. So I'll be posting this show. It is live right now on Podbean, and a few people have stopped in, which is always kind of fun. Nobody made any comments, though. So it kind of makes me wonder whether or not they've been able to hear me, because honestly, the little microphone thing, I can't tell whether there's any audio or going on or not. It's just, it's really hard to tell. But maybe there is. I don't know. We'll see. I'm also recording this on my digital audio workstation, so I'll be able to post this pretty quickly on, it'll be out there. It'll be on all the stuff. What do they call it? All the stuff. All the posting places. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Have a good weekend. God bless. Pray for our nation. And we will move forward praying for our nation and our leaders. We'll get through this. God bless, everybody.